Yeah, go for it. If you just want freedom, a lot of like, all right, so I started an agency because I wanted freedom, and that was wrong. That was the wrong decision.
Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom, the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey, listener, it's Wednesday morning here, and you are listening to session number 7 of the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast. I have a good friend with me today. His name is Jason Long. He has over a decade of experience running a large web design agency. He is going to share what he's learned over this time, and we will touch on topics such as who to hire first, the importance of niching down, whether one should freelance instead, having a partner, and more. This is a weekly podcast, so if you haven't subscribed yet, do it now. What is it you do?
I am the CEO of JH Media Group. That's my main company. We do web strategy, design, development in healthcare and government across the US. We also do a lot more and more general business work. It's mostly web development, app development. However, having done that for 10 plus years now, it's given me the ability to also launch a number of other businesses, primarily in technology, one of which is Map Dynamics. We do web-based mapping systems for trade shows. We do that internationally. It was either the Philippines or Malaysia. We just got our first client out there. I'm launching several startups. Brainleaf is one of my startups, almost ready to go into beta. That is a tool that does scoping for web projects. The number one thing every new web developer asks me, the three questions they always ask me is, they say, how do I scope a project? How do I price my projects? And how do I sell my projects? Or how do I set up my contract so I don't get killed on them? And this system streamlines all of those processes for them. Instead of spending hours doing your sales materials and your scoping, you can do it in minutes. I've also got a project called Incentives, which is a gamification and incentivization system for sales teams that will be launching in a couple months. And then a company called The Guide for Seniors, which is a senior tool that reviews companies that provide services to seniors. And that company will be launching in a few weeks. Got a lot of stuff going. And I also manage Blueberry Farm.
But you're not picking the blueberries yourself anymore, right?
No. You know, I wish I had more time for it. But no, I just manage the farm managers. I think that's the best way to put it. I put in place processes. I hold people accountable. And at the end of the day, what I really do for all of these businesses is that I put in place processes. I grow the company. I grow my people, and I hold people accountable.
I think it's also one of the things that people struggle with the most when starting a business.
Yeah, it took me many years to get all this stuff figured out.
You have JH Media. It's been running for over 10 years. What are some of the biggest takeaways from doing it for so long?
My biggest overall is that you can't manage people. You can only manage processes. And so doing web design and web development is kind of that right brain, left brain thing where you have to think about the strategy, you have to think about the look and feel, you have to think about design, but you also have to understand all the functionality and all the underlying pieces and how everything's going to fit together, how you're going to deliver things, how you're going to keep your server load up, how's the code going to look, all of those things. And at the end of the day, you know, you can't just sit over people's shoulder and tell them how to do things, you know, all the time. You have to develop really, really solid processes that keep people on the right track all the time. And that can be everything from the actual development side to the sales side to the account management side, all these different things. And so in my company, we incentivize everything. Our account managers are incentivized on profitability. Obviously, our salespeople are incentivized on their sales. And even our programmers and our designers are incentivized. Putting in place, learning how to set up those processes and putting those incentives in place has been just a really huge learning piece for me.
Can you recommend any resources for that?
So the way I did it, and this, I don't know how much of a resource this particular piece would be. The way I did it is I went and I interviewed CEOs of other large web development companies. I went down and would spend a pretty substantial amount of time going and talking to these guys. In one case, there was a CEO down in Florida who runs a really big company. And he was kind enough to spend an entire day with me, taking me through his entire company with just the request that I pass it forward one day. We hired a consultant that ran a large company at one point and eventually sold it. I could tell you his name is Jason Swank. He was the CEO of Solar Velocity. We hired him to go through some of his systems with us, and that was really, really valuable. And then generally just reading online, reading books, learning how to do things. I wish I had a real specific location that could say, go look at this.
So how did you reach out to those CEOs? Because I think a lot of people say like, well, we don't know anyone. Why would they talk to us through our competition? How would you go about doing that?
So we have an intern group here. We get interns from University of Georgia because our main offices are in Athens. And one of the projects we proposed to our interns was to find ways to improve the company that we didn't think of. And we went through all the ways that we're making improvements over the time and learning things. And we just posed it to them. And they said, well, how about reaching out to these CEOs? And I said, well, I think that's a great idea. And so they actually went through and called a whole bunch of guys and set up meetings. And my executive assistant actually set up all the meetings. But they went through and did all the research and found a bunch of guys that matched what we were doing and sent them letters and asked if they'd be willing to talk to us.
I think it's usually that simple, but I just wanted you to kind of tell everyone that. Because when I do, they're just like, oh, you're just too aggressive, that's why. But it really is that simple, right?
Yeah, it really is. I was really surprised that so often when you call people that are in your industry that you're not in direct competition with, sometimes even when you are, and you say, hey, I'd love to just sit down and have lunch and talk about business with you, just learn from you. So many people are willing just to sit down and talk to you. It's really that simple. Very often, being in Athens, we have lots of students that have questions about starting businesses. Anytime a student sends me a nice letter, I always respond to them. Anytime somebody in the industry in the area sends, pretty much anytime anybody sends me a letter, I respond to them. But for guys in my industry and students that I can really feel like I can help, I always sit down and talk to them. I go to lunch with them and we talk about business. And if they want more and I can help them, I often do.
That's awesome. Another thing I wanted to ask you, and this is because I've been asked this question a lot. People are always saying, should I be a consultant and let just contractors do the work, which you up all the profit, right? Or should I create my own team and build an agency? And because that's usually the two routes that you can take when you're selling services, especially like web design, SEO, and those things. I want your take on that.
It depends on what kind of lifestyle you want. That would be my... So for me, building an agency has been, we went through this horror recession. We went through some really great ups and some really low lows. And when you have a team, you have to make payroll, meaning sometimes you have to bend on things that you would really otherwise not really want to do. Sometimes you have to take business just because you have to make payroll. And that's not a great place to be in, but that's just the way it is. But if you can't do that, then don't start an agency. If you have the business and you've got a great model and you're sure that you can grow, yeah, go for it. If you just want freedom, so I started an agency because I wanted freedom, and that was wrong. That was the wrong decision. So when I started, I was in college. I didn't really know what I was doing at all. But I wanted all this freedom. And I thought that by doing this, I could do it. If you want real freedom, if you really want to pick, what days you want to work and you want to be able to take plenty of time off, you can do that starting an agency. But you got to have been doing it for 10 years. You got to have worked really, really hard, or really, really smart, or have a lot of extra experience, or you can just be a freelancer and you won't make as much money, but you have a lot of freedom. So it really depends on the kind of lifestyle you want.
That's great. Now, I think you're going to kind of have a story to go with this one too. What if someone is thinking of doing it with a partner?
All right, so I'm going to start off saying I have a business partner. When we started in college, and we are 50-50 in JH Media Group. And Jeremy is probably the best guy that I know. Like overall, he's just an awesome, awesome guy. And I probably would not do business in a partnership, in a 50-50 partnership with anybody else. That being said, my new businesses, all those software as a service businesses that I'm launching and all these other things, I own them. I own them 100%. So, or unless I have investors, they have their share, but I started off owning them 100%. And I think probably my grandfather had the best words of advice when it comes to partners. Partners are no damn good. That was what he told me.
That's it.
That was what he said. I would never say that about my business partner, but I can tell you, when you have a business partner, you have to make concessions. You have to move a little bit slower. You have to come to agreements on things. On the other hand, if you have a business partner and you do like I did and you got into a horrible car wreck and you're out for three or six months of the year, your business doesn't die. But when I was in a terrible car wreck and Jeremy picked it up and he kept it going. And if it hadn't been for that, this business would not exist right now. So there's definitely a balance. However, as I've moved forward, I have these new businesses and I have a team now that's very strong. It took me all that time to put them together, but these teams are very, very strong and they could run it without me. It's kind of where you are in your career, where you are as a business person, where your business is, and what you want. You know, some people are happier with a partner. New stuff, I prefer to go out on my own.
That's true. I prefer to have no partners. I mean, I've had some before, and I'll say, like, it just never worked out, man. We pretty much went into a ring at the end every single time. So I just don't like it.
If I wasn't working with Jeremy, I would not work with anybody else. I would not work. I would not have another business partner. There's actually one other person who's been a regular investor, but she is a silent partner. She is absolutely a silent partner. And so like that kind of thing, I have no problem with, but we have a written contract, an operating agreement, and it's very clear. Like there's no question about that. So, oh, by the way, if you are in a 50-50 partnership or something close to that, and you want to negotiate your way around, or you're having problems with your partner, I strongly recommend looking into setting up a solid operating agreement that says what each person is responsible for and what each person is not responsible for, setting up goals and financial incentives around meeting those goals, and then having your partner sign that. And this way, if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, you can set yourself to be in a financial position to help them remove themselves from problem areas, whatever that means to you.
I think that's really good advice.
Yeah.
If someone's setting up an agency, let's say, they want to go that route, what sort of obstacles can they expect?
Oh my God.
I know. It's a big one, but I want to know a couple of the main ones, because I think people go into businesses with the wrong mindset a lot of the time. So I kind of want to get someone with a lot of experience to, you know, bring them back to the ground.
Okay. It's all about money. I wish I could say it's all about doing good. I wish I could say it's all about making the world a better place. But at the end of the day, you have to focus on the bottom line. You have to focus on your profitability. You take your eyes off of that and you start looking at other things, you're going to run into so many problems. And I think that a lot of people getting started, they have a lot of idealistic reasons why they're doing things, and they don't want to think about the money. But the thing is, you absolutely have to think about the money, and you absolutely have to consider it. It has to be the top priority so often. And like I said, I really wish it wasn't like that. I wish I could just do this because I love to do it, and I wish I could do it because it makes the world a better place. And I do like what I do, and it does make the world a better place. However, if I take my eyes off that money, everything will fall apart. Business runs on money. And I think that's the number one issue. What are the other obstacles? For setting up a web design agency, it really depends on where your experience is. I've seen designers open up agencies and not have a strong enough understanding of the development side and what goes into it, especially when it comes to project management. So if that's your position, then I strongly recommend you take a look at Atlassian and some of their like Jira, their tools, and learn how to run agile projects, learn the difference between agile and waterfall development, really understand how to scope your projects and how to price your projects correctly. That's one of the other biggest items I see all the time. And then if you're coming from the programming side, if you're setting up an agency that is doing design, it really is very important to have a good designer or have access to good design resources. I've seen several agencies that were built by programmers, and they try to do the design and they just get killed on it. I would say don't be too proud to partner with another company. I've seen that over and over where either designers don't want to partner with programmers or vice versa. And remember, at the end of the day, you got to be looking at where's my money coming from, where's my money going out, how much money are we making? it's don't be too proud to say I need to work with somebody else or I need to split some of this money to make my projects work. It really depends on where you're coming from as to what your obstacles are, but those are two really good places to look at starting, because most people are designers or they are programmers and they don't have both sides. There's very few people that have both sides that start an agency.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think working with someone else that does things that are maybe a little bit similar, you're just not competing with each other. It's great. That's like me and you. I do the SEO part, you do the web design and all that stuff, and it works out great.
Yeah. You know, one other item I really do need to address when it comes to that is the different aspects of an agency, or at least of my agency. We've got programming. We've got design, and our designers really are designers and front-end developers. If you're going to have a web design company, whoever's designing stuff, your Photoshop guys, they got to know code. That's a really important piece. We've got account managers who are also project managers. We have client strategists, which are people that really just focus on strategy, information architecture, and they do a lot of our scoping. And then we've got our sales team. And that's where the last thing I wanted to address, which was, a lot of times you can build something or you can program something and you can run the project, but you don't know how to sell it. And learning those sales skills is a really hard thing to do. And learning how to sell, where to sell, what is your niche. When you're building an agency, one of the things that we didn't do, and I wish we had, was we didn't focus. We didn't have a particular area of focus. We kind of built anything for anybody. And I know of a lot of other agencies that have excelled because they had a much more specific focus. They built this thing for this group, and that's all they did. It's kind of helped us. We've worked around it because now we have all of these software as a service systems that we're launching, we're working on, and we have them in a lot of different areas, so we have a good diversification. However, I feel like had I been working for the last 10 years on something more specific, I would be much, much further along by now.
So you're saying people should niche down?
Exactly. All my new businesses always sell a particular thing to a particular group. We are very, very specific, and we do a ton of market research before we even consider getting started on anything.
Now, why did you say graphic designers need to code?
So if you're a designer, if you're a web designer, not a graphic designer, if you're just doing graphic design and you're doing posters and brochures, that you can just do you can work in Illustrator or Photoshop and whatever, and that's fine. But if you are a designer, you're designing a website, you have to have a understanding of usability and internet conventions. You really, if you're going to hire somebody especially, you really should know how to code it, because so often we end up with designers, or if we're working with another firm that's doing the design and we're just doing the coding, it has happened so many times where they'll design things that are either impossible to code or will take a ridiculous amount of time to code when it really didn't need to be done that way. With a few minor changes, it could be simple and they've made it extremely complicated. Or we'll get more broad specifications on something. We'll quote the job at, you know, whatever dollar amount we quoted at. And then that design team, this happens with another design team, they, because they're designers and they don't have an understanding of how much the project is worth, designing whatever they want, they'll design pieces into the site that are very hard to program. That's happened to us a number of times now. So we're very, very involved with the design portion if another team is bringing us in just to do coding and programming. For your in-house guys, if you're running an agency, they need to know both, because if they start designing things that are going to be really hard to code or very time intensive to program, that's going to kill your profit margin. In a lot of cases, you'll be deep underwater on a project, or you'll create expectations and you have to come back to the client and say, actually, no, never mind. We can't build all that stuff we designed for you, and we need to get rid of it. And that just makes the client pissed off.
Okay.
And that, by the way, that also comes down to scoping the project out initially and making sure the designer knows what they're supposed to be doing. But if you're working with somebody who's just a designer and doesn't know how to code or doesn't understand the process, you're probably going to get into that situation.
One of the biggest mistakes I see with agencies is not managing expectations right. So yeah, all the stuff you said makes sense. How do you price your products correctly? That's another big thing.
Yeah, so that's, we've tried so many different things when it comes to this. Over the years, man, we've gone from kind of a broad scope. We've done very specific scopes. We've tried everything. All right, so there's a few different pieces. First of all, when we get a new project in, we scope it really well now. We go through, we take the time to, well, first of all, we only take projects of a pretty reasonable size. And so if we spend some time to scope it and we don't get the project, we're okay with it. It's just a piece of our business. We just decide to, that's fine. But we pretty much write out all the different feature sets and we do a write-up on it. It's still relatively broad, but we have a pretty good idea what all of our different feature sets are. And then we apply kind of an hour number or complexity number to those feature sets. And then we kind of put together a broad overview number based on that, or hours and price. And then we say, we think it's going to be within a range 20% up or 20% down, usually not 20% down, but, you know, sometimes. And so we give our clients a, here's what we think it's going to be, middle number, and then it could be 20% up, 20% down. However, we bill on time and materials. If it takes more than that 20% or the client has added stuff, it costs how much money it took time-wise to do it. That's how much it costs. There are situations where we've had something that really just took way longer than it should have, in which case we just cut the price. We just say, you know, that it just, we don't see the value in this and we just don't think that we should charge that much for it, and we just don't. But it's in our contract that if we really wanted to, we could. So we, you know, we charge on time and materials. Real quick recap. We scope it really well. We put together a pretty solid price and number based on how much time we think on a per feature basis. And then we bill on time and materials.
Yeah, that makes sense too. If you were starting over right now with all the knowledge you have in building J-House, how would you do it?
Oh, man. All right. So if I was starting over right now, I wouldn't build J-House. If I could wipe everything clean and start over, I would build my software as a service businesses. They're easier. They're less of a pain. We can make more money on those businesses than we can on JH Media Group. And so if I wasn't here already, I would just start with that. Now, that being said, if you said you tasked me with starting a new agency, then I would actually, let me speak to the last thing real quick, because I think it's important to note. When you build a web design company, you're selling hours for the most part, or you're selling value, but one way or another, you're selling time. And so when somebody asks you for something, the answer is pretty much never no. The answer is, let me see how much time that's going to take, and let me get you a quote on that. And one, that takes time and it's complicated, and it takes high value individuals to do that work. It takes high paid, high value people working together to build those large complex systems. And the answer is never no. The answer is always yes. The answer is always, let me figure it out. The answer is, you know, a lot of times it just comes down to price. But a lot of times it gets hard because you get into a project and then you have to deal with clients saying, I want to do this. And you going, it's going to cost this much money. And them saying, well, I don't think it should cost that much money. And then you have to have these difficult conversations with clients about things that they don't understand. And you have to convince them to pay you more money, which is one of the reasons we try really hard to deal with bigger clients now, because they don't have a problem paying us a lot of money to do big, complex things. But a lot of times you don't always have that. When you have an agency, you have to make money, you have to pay your people. So sometimes you have to take projects you don't really want to take, or you have to fire people, whatever you want to do. And that's hard. Whereas with a product or software as a service, it does these things. It is this product or this set of things. And somebody asks you, does it do this other thing? And you can say, no, it doesn't do that other thing. If you pay me enough money, maybe we can talk about it, but it's going to be a pretty substantial amount of money. And maybe we can do it next year. Maybe we can do it the next release. Maybe we can blah, blah, blah. But it's this much. It does these things. You pay me this much every time. It's always a set amount of money. And really, at the end of the day, people come to your website. They buy your product. They do it on an automated system, and you don't have to deal with them. And on top of that, you can hire much less expensive people to manage that business, or to do the day-to-day, you know, somebody to answer the phone, somebody to take care of your billing, or, you know, that kind of thing. These don't have to be $100,000 a year people. You can hire somebody for $30,000 a year who's really excited to answer the phone and really happy to be getting $30,000, and may not have to be the smartest person in the world to do that. That's a lot easier for me, at least. Maybe not for everybody. I'm sure there are people that would much prefer to do the other one. From all the work that I've done in the last 12 years, that's been my experience.
Who would you hire first, though, if you were starting fresh? Like, who would be the first hire that you made?
I would hire my current production manager, Zach Alig. Zach is an awesome guy. He's a programmer, designer, project manager. He can do it all. And so basically, this is somebody that has a ton of experience, knows how to manage large-scale projects, has a ton of contacts with freelance designers and developers, knows how to look at their code, knows how to answer questions, knows how to deal with a client, and is focused on the money. If I could hire anybody out there, if it was just me, I would hire that guy. He has made my life so much easier. Problem is, guys like that are not cheap, and they're really hard to find.
Yeah, but that's an interesting choice because a lot of people would choose a salesperson. So I want to see why you chose a product manager.
Because right now, finding a salesperson has been one of the hardest things for my company. We deal in things that are very large and very complex, and you have to have a lot of product knowledge. And from my interviews with those CEOs, they told me a lot of different things. But one of the top things they told me was find somebody who has design and programming experience, who is either a designer or a programmer, who understands what they're talking about and can talk at a high level about the system, but also at a low level about the system to be able to sell your products. Because if you end up with somebody that's just selling an idea, a lot of times in this particular industry, they can't do it. And I've worked now with probably, 10, 12 guys to sell stuff. And I haven't had great success with anyone except for those guys that were designers or programmers and have really good product knowledge on selling things. So the reason is, I guess, at the end of the day, is because personally, I would do the sales for the company. And I would hire Zach to be able to manage my production because he could manage all the production and I could do all the sales.
I think that's great for you though. What if someone can't sell well? What should they do?
Don't start an agency. In whatever business you're doing, my opinion, I actually met one guy who's not his best salesman. But for the most part, you're always your best salesman. You're the guy who cares. You're the guy who loves what you do. You're the guy who's invested in the company. You're the guy that it means the most to. And that comes across when you're talking to people. Part of being a small business owner is doing sales. And if you can't do sales at all and you have to rely on other people for it, I don't know. I don't know if it's a real good fit for you. Maybe if you're in a business where you don't have to sell anything, but if you can't talk to clients, you can't sell stuff, this probably isn't the right. You shouldn't start an agency. You should be a freelancer.
What kind of business? You don't need to sell anything now. I'm trying to think of that.
The more I've done business, I've seen a lot of people who are really, really, they're great designers, they're great developers, and they can't sell or they're just really hard to deal with. And a lot of times they end up having to go back and get regular jobs. They end up not being able to freelance or not being able to run an agency because they can't sell or they can't deal with people. I don't know. If you can't sell or you're not willing to learn, running a company might not be for you.
I think that's awesome advice right there. Yeah, so I want to thank you, man. This has been awesome. Where can people find you?
You can give me at jhmediagroup.com. You can call my office, 706-425-1976. That's probably the best two places to get me. Find me on LinkedIn as well.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, man.
Yep, no problem.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please help out by leaving a review on iTunes and don't forget to hit the subscribe button. If you have any questions, hit me up in the comments on smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.